It's time for another episode of Marketing Pains, the podcast about marketing for window treatment and awning companies. Learn what your colleagues are doing to keep their businesses thriving and growing, and what tools you can use to expand your own business. Enjoy the view as window treatment marketing pros owner Will Hanke talks with industry experts, digging into their marketing successes, learning how they're attracting more customers, and getting you thinking about ways to marketing your own company.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for jumping on today. This is your COVID-19 action plan for window treatment and awning companies. My name is Will Hanke. I'm going to go through a bunch of different things. We're going to talk about generating leads, handling sales. We're going to talk about something called your customer assurance campaign. We'll talk a little bit about going into the client's home, which may or may not affect you at the current moment. Getting paid. How are we going to get paid? What different things can we do? What different techniques can we use for that? There's some big marketing opportunities, and I'm going to share some other resources as well. If you do have any questions, comments, anything along the way, feel free to put those into the chat area or the question and answer area, and I'm going to make sure that I can get to everybody's question and answers at the end. We've got a nice crowd on here today, so I'm excited to have you all with us. So let's jump in. Most people know this. There's tough times ahead. It could be a month, it could be a couple months, could be a couple weeks. You know, we really don't know. However, over the last week, I'd say things have drastically changed for most of you. And there are some different things that you have to navigate now. The good thing is customers still need your services. Customers aren't going anywhere. They may not be going online as much, or they might be going online more. Who knows, right? But they still need your services. This is the good news of all of this information, that they still need your services. Plenty of them are stuck at home. In fact, my wife, she's mentioned two or three times now this week painting our bedroom. I'm sure that's going to turn into other things as well, but just to think that all of these people are at home looking around, trying to adapt, and they're starting to see their surroundings that normally they only see, you know, from the time they get home to the next morning when they go off to work, right? So good news is they still need your services. In fact, you know, like I said, they're being isolated along with their kids. They're going to be in their house. They really, in most cases, we can't go anywhere other than to the store, different things like that. Way outside the norm. People are bored, and they're going to start maybe not doing any major renovations, but definitely some deferred maintenance, if you want to call it that. Some things that maybe they've put off in the past. And now is a good time to start thinking about that and putting a plan in place to take action on all of those things. So this is something I sent out, I think on Sunday, and it was just a quick email to my list of around 1,500 window treatment and awning company owners. And basically, I just said what I just told you. I think there's going to be an increase over the next month or so, month and a half. And we're already kind of seeing some of that from some of our reporting. And I went into a little bit of why I thought that was the case, which I explained a minute ago. But I got some great responses. And there are a lot of business owners that are doing similar things and taking advantage of this opportunity. We've also had some clients that have pulled back. And we're going to see why that is a huge advantage for you here in a little bit. So this is a great opportunity for you, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that. Also, record social media consumption right now. The numbers are through the roof, obviously for the same reason. People are home, people are stuck, people are checking their phones. People that are working from home are still able to check their phones, which maybe during a regular workday they can't do. So the social media consumption is just through the roof right now. That is a huge opportunity for you as well. Now, there's only a couple reasons why people won't call you or they won't fill out a form on your site, something like that. One is they don't think you're open, and maybe that is the case, but there are some things you can do to reduce the amount of friction related to that. Or they're concerned that it's not safe. It's not safe for a designer to come to their home or their business, and it's not safe for them to go somewhere. So we're gonna talk about some ways that you can reduce both of these items. Today, we're going to go through five main areas. I mentioned these: generating leads, creating your customer assurance campaign, handling sales, what to do if you do go into a client's home. And maybe this isn't the case right now with a lot of people on lockdown, but maybe this is something that you can implement in the future when we start to come out of this. These might still be really good policies for you. Also talking about getting paid and your marketing opportunity and some resources. I want to make sure that I share a lot of different resources for you and get you on the right track. Marie says, I can help your wife select the perfect color for your bedroom. Thank you, Marie. I appreciate that. However, if I have you help her, that just makes more work for me, right? So I might not tell her that you said that. So anyway, let's talk about generating leads. And basically, I'm just going to put all these on the screen, and then I'm going to talk about each one individually. First of all, tracking. Last week on Friday, we have a private Facebook group called Window Treatment Marketing Secrets. And in that group, I do Facebook Lives on Fridays to teach the group about something. And this past Friday, it was all about tracking. It was all about getting the right things set up, because you need to know what's working, right? And at this particular moment, instead of just jumping into your website and start changing things, put tracking in place first. Put your analytics in place. Put, you know, the different things in place so you have a baseline and you know exactly what's going on now, so that when you start to make these changes, you can see whether they're good or bad. I think that's a fantastic way to do it. And, you know, when we get a new client, very first thing we do is set up all this stuff so that we can document over time these different changes and these different increases as the leads start flowing. So definitely important to get your tracking down. There's a well-known quote, half of my advertising is working great, I just don't know which half. So don't be that person, right? With digital marketing, everything is trackable. It's so fantastic. You know, everything you do, you know, has some sort of data behind it. Compare that to, let's say, a billboard, where, you know, you put a billboard up. Well, you have no idea how many people drove by, how many people looked at it, how many people thought about it. It's real hard to do tracking on something like that. With digital, everything, even your social media, everything is trackable. So I definitely recommend getting analytics set up. If it isn't, do that immediately. And you would do that at analytics.google.com. There's a lot of other analytics services out there too. I don't mean to just point you towards that one, but it is the most popular. It's also free, which is nice. Get that set up on your site. Definitely do that. The other tracking that is very important that a lot of businesses don't consider is call tracking. We use a service called CallRail, CallRail.com. And what CallRail does is gives you a phone number. You can, you know, get a local area code phone number or a 800 number, whatever you prefer. And probably the local number is the best nowadays, really. But you can get a number, put that on your website. It forwards straight to your regular line. But anybody that calls that number, you can attribute that back to your website being the source of that lead. So most websites and most business owners just put up their main phone number, you know, that everybody else has on their website, or that, you know, that you're putting on your business cards and you're putting on your brochures and your flyers and everything else. Putting a special number on your site is a fantastic idea. It's going to generate specific calls that you can then track backwards to see how well your website's working. The other thing you can do is you can record those calls if you want to use them for sales training, things of that sort. You can also hook your phone number up to analytics. And if you watch the tracking Facebook Live I did last week, we actually went through how to do that. But really cool that you can set up basically a goal in your analytics program for phone numbers, for phone calls. And then every time somebody picks up the phone, dials from your website, it hits your analytics, puts basically a one or a check mark there. And then you can go back and look over time. Okay, this month we generated 45 phone calls. This month we're on track to generate 52, you know, and you can start to compare those things. So really cool. David says you can record them. Yeah, you can record the calls as well, which is great, especially if you want to go back and look at how did they come in? What did they talk about? You know, there's some great pieces of content that you could write, blogs that you could write just out of listening to phone calls as people call in. So yeah, great, great thing there. All right. Secondly, pay-per-click. This is by far the best way to get leads, or the fastest way to get leads. Basically, it's Google AdWords is the most popular one, right? You put an ad up there, people click on it, they land on your website, they fill out a form, or they pick up the phone and call you. Pay-per-click can get you into Google very quickly. It's obviously not free, but it basically is that every time somebody clicks on your ad, whether they do anything beyond that or not, you pay for that click. So it can get expensive depending on the market. I know somebody said they were in Boston, April's in Boston. So it may be that it costs a little bit more, you know, in the areas that have a little bit more competition, but definitely something worth looking into and considering. The way that it works is it's an auction style based format. So he who pays the most in most cases or bids the most on getting ads are going to be further up in the overall listing. There are some caveats to that. If your ad is really bad and it's just not converting, it could be that someone paying less actually would get a higher placement than you. There are different things like ad quality, what keywords you're going after, how your ad is written, those sort of things. But they can work. With this particular way of getting leads, you really need to log into the pay-per-click system very often, you know, let's say once a day, if not more, and see which ads are working, which ads are not working, and tweak them as you go so that you can, you know, so you can lower your cost per click and you can get more leads because it's a little bit more intriguing. Obviously, we recommend writing, you know, 6 or 8 or 10 ads and letting Google start to show those evenly and seeing which ones get the most clicks and then starting to turn off the ones that aren't working so well. Take the winners, modify them a little bit, see if you can make them even better. You know, that's a great way to go about it. Just throwing a bunch of money at pay-per-click can work, but it's terribly inefficient and a very short-term solution. So I definitely wouldn't look at pay-per-click as a long-term strategy. Typically what we do is if a client has money to put into pay-per-click on top of some SEO and some other things that we're doing, that's great, but it should be used as a supplement. And typically the only time that our clients really use pay-per-click is after they're ranking for all kinds of stuff in Google. Then it becomes exactly what that is, a supplement, and they can get eyeballs. You know, they can get 3 chances at eyeballs instead of 1 on some sort of Google result page. So anyway, that's a good idea. Also, pay-per-click in the map. So this is fairly new. You can actually put an ad into the map area or what we call the 3-pack. So when you type in something like Awnings Memphis, typically you'll get 3 results there with a map, and those 3 businesses have a pretty good chance of getting a click, especially on mobile devices. Mobile is through the roof when it comes to the map area. But anyway, there is a way to run pay-per-click ads specifically in that section and become a 4th option. So instead of a 3-pack, it's a 4-pack. And if you're already organically in that 3-pack, then you can actually take 2 of the spots. So you can have a 50% chance of getting a click instead of a 33% chance of getting a click. So pretty cool little thing there. Definitely worth checking into. Not terribly expensive, but anyway, worth looking into as well. Third is pay-per-click retargeting. So another thing that you can do is you can actually pixel people, put some little code on your site. And when somebody comes to your website, let's say they come, they look around, they look at your gallery, they look at your contact information, but they don't fill anything out. And off they go to, you know, some other distraction. There is a piece of code you can put on their website that will then tell Google they were there. And then you can actually go show ads to those particular people on other platforms, on Google, on YouTube, on Google partner sites. You can do the same thing with Facebook. You can show them ads on Facebook because they had been to your website. So retargeting is huge. It's super cheap. And what a great way to bring those customers back to you that maybe thought about it, but never filled out the form or never contacted you. And there are ways to set that up where you can filter out anybody who did fill out a form, so they're not seeing your retargeting ads. But retargeting is by far one of the coolest things you can do, and very, very reasonable on price. All right, SEO, next one up, obviously my favorite long-term strategy. And I wanna bring this up because it's very important that as we're sitting at home looking at our website, you know, what can I do? What can I fix? Should I just start changing things? Should I be adding things? It's important to understand how your website looks today from Google's standpoint, again, so that you can start building on it and optimizing it, making changes. Definitely not a short-term solution, but if you're struggling right now, your best result, your best option is pay-per-click, although it's going to take a budget to do that. But at the same time, I would definitely start using some different optimization techniques. So I do want to talk about, there's a tool called Screaming Frog. And I've actually gone through this in one of my Facebook Fridays as well. But this particular tool, you can download it for free. Just go to Google and type in Screaming Frog. There's not a lot of screaming frogs out there, so it'd be pretty easy to find. But this tool, one of the things that it'll do is it will crawl your site, and then you can actually pull out all of your page titles, meta descriptions, heading tags. You can pull that information out and see how it looks online and then start to use that information to start to optimize your site. So does my homepage say window treatments in Boston? You know, does it say that, or is it just the name of my website, or does it just say home? I can't believe how many homepages just have home as a title. So that's an opportunity for you right there to get those done. So that tool's called Screaming Frog. You can crawl up to 500 pages, I think, for free. So fantastic tool to get you started. I have done some training on that. If you want to see that, contact me. I'll be happy to get that to you. Also a good time to work on your Google My Business listing. We'll talk a little bit more about that a little bit later on. But I do want to make sure that I bring that up. Also reviews. Again, Google My Business right now has pulled back on a lot of things, but there's nothing stopping you from continuing to ask for reviews. When we're talking about your three pack with the map results there, you know, the guy with the most reviews is probably going to get most of the clicks. I've even seen some different experiments where, let's say the first, there's a three pack, right? Three results. The first guy's got 8 reviews. The second guy's got 35. The third guy's got, you know, 10 or 12 or whatever. We have seen click tracking results where the guy with the 35 reviews, even though he's not in the first spot, he's getting most of the clicks. So these reviews are huge. If you're not getting reviews, if you're not asking your customers, your past customers, to come back and review you on Google, Yelp, Facebook, House, some of these platforms, you need to get that implemented right now. And that's fairly easy to do. Make sure that those profiles are set up, and then shoot out an email and say, hey, you know, we did business with you. Obviously, things are a little rough right now. If you could leave us a review, we would love that. Now, Google is not approving a lot of those at the moment, but you can still get those in. So often overlooked, but very powerful thing that you can do. Next up is content. So I'm still talking about SEO. I want to make sure that I mention content. And by that, I mean typically the content on your site and blogs or articles or how-tos or just information for people that are coming to your site. And again, if you go back and listen to some of these call tracking calls, you'll know what people are asking over and over again, and that will direct your content in an easy way to figure out what do I need to write about. But definitely get some things, some new things on your website. So I do want to make sure that I mention going into your website and just changing it once a month doesn't really get the attention of Google. If anything, it confuses them because the content keeps changing. What you really want to do is have a website that is continually getting larger. And every time Google comes back and spiders your site, there's another page or there's another two pages or there's more content, and it just keeps getting bigger. That is a much, much better signal than going into your website and thinking you can change the homepage paragraph every month. Don't do that. Make it written really well and go on and build other pieces of content. You can start by just recording your voice on your phone, typing into a Word doc. It doesn't have to be fancy. You know, just getting that content out there is going to really help you build your site better. So, all right, next up, website forms. Good time to review your forms on your site. One thing to remember is the more things that somebody has to fill out, the less likely they are to fill it out. So you got to kind of play a game here with how much information do I need ahead of time versus how much information can I ask for on the original, you know, the follow-up sales call. So there are a couple things that I think maybe you should consider asking now, such as when would you like to have the project completed? Obviously with the COVID situation, hopefully they're going to say a month or two out, depending on what the project is. Do you require any additional steps on our part to complete the install? So this is kind of setting up the whole customer assurance program. Do you want us to come to your house? Do you want us to wait until this is over? Do you want us to, you know, wash our hands? All that kind of stuff, which we'll talk about a little bit later. How would you prefer to be contacted? Email, phone, messenger, FaceTime is another big one right now. But once they fill out the form, make sure that you show them some sort of an assurance piece. We'll talk a little bit more about that. I keep saying that over and over again, but we are going to talk about these things. So anyway, good time to check your forms. Make sure that they are up to snuff. So, all right. Last thing, call to action. So I do want to make sure that while you're looking at your website, think about these couple things from a customer's perspective. Is your phone number easy to find, first and foremost? Is it at the top and at the bottom of every page? That should obviously be your call tracking number. But as they scroll down your page, does the phone number stick to the top? Most websites nowadays have what's called a sticky menu, and your main navigation sticks to the top as they're scrolling down. Make sure your phone number is up there so that at no point during their visit do they not see a way to contact you. Now, as far as call to actions, these are other things, such as bright orange buttons, right? Click here to contact us. Click here to set up your appointment. Click here to have somebody call you. Click here to download our guide. Whatever that happens to be, look through your website, bounce to random pages on your site, and make sure at all times there's some sort of obvious next step for your customer. If there's no obvious next step, then you need to get that in there. And it needs to be the word obvious. It needs to be bright orange or yellow or whatever it is that sticks out from the rest of your site. Obviously, you don't want it to look gaudy, but you want it to draw their eye to that particular thing. And then lastly, make sure that all of your, make sure everything's working on your site. This is pretty important. Make sure all of your forms are working. Fill out a form. Make sure that it comes back to you. Make sure that all your links are working, all that kind of stuff. So I'm not going to go into that a whole lot. But all right, so let's talk about some sales challenges. I think the big thing right now with everybody unwilling to go anywhere, the big thing is going to be virtual options. So that's the FaceTime, that is Zoom, it's virtual sales, right? There are some things that you can do with these different products. Had I bought Zoom stock 2 weeks ago, I'd probably be a lot better than I am now, right? But anyway, lots of people are still doing these virtual sales. And it's kind of interesting. I've had several conversations with different owners. Some are really jumping into this, and including Hunter Douglas is getting together a certification. I saw an email about that today. And, you know, there's some really cool things. Some other business owners are saying, you know, we're not doing it. It's just a fad or a shtick. So kind of interesting how it's coming from both angles about it. But at the end of the day, if you're closed down, you need to do sales. Here are a couple other ideas. Obviously, the FaceTime Zoom thing is pretty straightforward. Spend some time learning those systems. If you have a way to show fabrics and products and shapes and, you know, a lot of that can be on your website too. It doesn't necessarily have to be live, but definitely look into that and familiarize yourself with the fact that it is not going to be as professional as somebody walking into a retail store and dealing with you, you know, or a designer coming to your home. So definitely some different things there that we need to look into and decide if you want to continue those. Another thing is demo videos. I definitely like the idea of building some demo videos of some main, you know, here are our top, bottom, down, up, you know, shades, here's solar shades, here's all these different things, and have a video on them. They are fantastic, especially a video where you are engaging with that particular product. These work really well. People love to consume video related content. So definitely an option right there is to do some demo videos, put those up on YouTube. YouTube is the second largest search engine and just happens to be owned by Google. But if you want a different audience, especially now with people being at home, YouTube traffic is getting higher and higher, and start to work on putting up some different demo videos, things like that. You can also embed that obviously on your product page, and same for the services. Talk about your services, what makes you different, what makes you the reason that they should call you or contact you. And of course, make sure you mention how they can get started, right? Make sure you do that. Let's see, appointment forms. My favorite is a service called Calendly. And I will put a link to that in our resources area. Calendly is great. You can hook that up to a calendar program such as Google Calendar or something like that. People can schedule right online, which is fantastic. It's a great way to do it. Also, your appointment form can just say, when would you like to be contacted? You know, and some of these other questions that I had earlier, when would you like to complete this project? That sort of stuff. But these appointment forms can be fairly virtual, which is really nice. And I'll link to Calendly down below. All right, another cool idea is what I call our shock and awe box. This might be a good time to, as these leads are coming in, to put together a little box and send it to the potential lead. You know, if they haven't decided yet, or obviously they're not thinking about it, you know, or even if they set an appointment for the middle of April or something like that, sending them something in the mail that has maybe a couple samples, it has a catalog, it has a coupon, it has some brand related items, you know, maybe a coffee mug or a notepad or something in there. Just the fact that that shows up at their door when they weren't expecting it can really help them decide which company they want to go with. We've done this with our own stuff, and we get a tremendous response on anybody who gets one of our boxes, not expecting it in the mail. These things work great for a really cool impression. Get some boxes that have your logo on the side or your website on the side. You know, really put some time into making this a bit of a presentation, if you will. I'll link to the place where you can get the custom boxes too. By the way, all of our resources, everything I'm talking about today is going to be at WTMarketingPros.com/COVID, COVID. All of the information will be there. I've spent a lot of time building out a resources page that mentions most all of these items. So next, cold calling. Might be a good time to hire a cold calling company, and they're not as expensive as you might think. I've got a link to a good cold calling company that we use as well. There's a couple things you could do. Call past customers and offer them a loyalty discount, or schedule your install by the end of April or May or whatever you think we're going to get out of this thing. And maybe there's you get an extra item for your something. I don't know. You could come up with something, I'm sure. Get a list of local businesses. You can get that list online and call them and ask them if they're thinking of doing any remodeling while they're closed. That might be a good way to proactively get into some of these projects that maybe you didn't have before. Call past customers and ask for reviews, or do a survey about a product that you're thinking about offering. Obviously maybe toss in a discount, maybe not. You could also put together a webinar or a product demo and have somebody call to get people to sign up for your webinar that you're going to be doing, or your product demo that you're going to be doing. Great way to kind of go about doing some of those things. And then lastly, actually have a sale. We have several clients who are doing this right now. Hunter Douglas has two different promotions they're going to be running at the same time here pretty soon. So there are a lot of opportunities for you to promote a sale or a special that you're having, and offering something of additional value that could really kind of just tip the scales into your favor. So those are some different sales related things that maybe you can grab something out of there that'll help you. Okay, your Google profile. So lots of things have changed in the Google My Business world. I do have a training, 45 minute or so training specifically on how to optimize your entire Google My Business profile. That's at WTMarketingPros.com/training. But some of the things, I got this email yesterday from them saying, have your business hour changed? Are you temporarily closed? That kind of stuff. So definitely worth checking into, and this is a good time to optimize that profile. First of all, Google.com/business is where you would go. Update your hours. They also have now a thing for temporary closed, and you can obviously put how long you think that will be. They are giving priority to new listings. So if you go to Google.com/business and you don't have a listing there, they are giving priority to new listings. So good time to get that built. Good time to sanitize your profile. And by that, I mean logging in and going to the info button on the left there, and making sure everything's filled out, making sure your homepage link is correct. Make sure you have your hours, your normal working hours in there correct. Make sure that you have your appointment link in there. There are a lot of things that you can do inside that system. You can add some different services. Make sure you pick out several categories. But anyway, good time to get in there and make sure that that is taking place. I did mention earlier that new reviews are not getting published. They are obviously keeping them. They're not just going to ignore them, but they are not publishing them to your profile at this time. But it's definitely still a good time to get reviews. And lastly, expect delays as they're working on a smaller staff size as well. So they're kind of prioritizing certain pieces of that. But this is a fantastic time to get in there and make sure that is optimized the way you want it. So, all right, let's talk a little bit about in the client's home. And I do realize that in a lot of cases, this is not going to be information you can implement in the next couple of days, but I'm going to go through it anyway, because I think there's some good things in here that you can use down the line and things that you can set up now. The most important thing here really is what I'm calling your assurance campaign. And there's a lot of pieces to this. I would love your feedback on these, whether they're doable, whether they're not, whether I'm just crazy, whether it's something you might want to implement. But let's go through each one of these. First of all, a pre-entrance checklist. So your installer or your designer has a list of things that they need to do and they need to check off. And this could be as simple as wash your hands, put on some booties, put on the mask, take your temperature, put on some gloves, put on, if you have one of those, I'm calling it a hazmat suit, but obviously those are expensive, but they do have those disposable coveralls that are, you know, a dollar or two each. Some customers might really appreciate that. You know, maybe it's a little crazy, I don't know. Wipe down your tools with Clorox wipes. Obviously don't shake the customer's hand. Hand the customer a thank you card. Hand the customer a rate my cleanliness card. Lots of really just different ideas of things that you could do to have kind of a checklist put together. And obviously you can have that checklist, hand that checklist to the client so that they see these things are check marked off before you go do the install. But anyway, some interesting ideas. I'd also have a video on your website that tells the customers what you guys are doing. So most businesses are putting out something now about the COVID-19, you know, precautions that we're taking. But I think being a little bit more specific and doing it as a video is a fantastic way to assure them when they filled out the form that it was the right choice. And it doesn't have to be a long video. In fact, I've actually on the COVID resource page I mentioned earlier, I've actually got a couple scripts for different videos that you can use and modify for your own good, your own needs. This video should obviously go on your thank you page. So after they fill out the appointment form, that video comes up, you know, thank you for doing business with us. Here are the precautions we take. We definitely take your safety into consideration, all that kind of stuff, right? That's a good way to do it. Another place to put this video could be in retargeting ads. So somebody came to your website, didn't fill out the form, went off to Facebook, and all of a sudden they see a video from your business, you know, that says, hey, you know, these are the things we're doing, you know, and then when they click on that video, it pops them right back to your site, pops them right back to the appointment page, something like that. Definitely worth considering. Obviously, a notice on your website that says, you know, you're the typical COVID-19, here's what we're doing. We've had some interesting situations with this. We have a couple clients who have decided not to put it front and center on their homepage, so this video doesn't go on their homepage, but rather put it into a link in your top navigation. And we're not even calling it COVID. In some cases, we're calling it your safety or something like that. And they click on that, and then they see the video, they see your script with all the things you're doing. The nice thing about that is it doesn't come across so much as a negative. If it's on your homepage, if they're just typing in, you know, window treatments, Las Vegas, and they come to your homepage and the first thing they see is this somewhat negative, I guess, video about what you're doing, you know, it just comes across as maybe not the best situation. So we're actually building a separate page on most sites, putting that as a link, your safety, or COVID or something like that, that they can click on. When they click on that and come to it and actively engage with it that way, it comes across as a little bit more positive in my mind, and hopefully in theirs as well, because now they are clicking on it ahead of time and want to find that information versus it just being dumped on them. Definitely post on your Facebook, your social media pages, the same related thing, you know, here's what we're doing. An email reminder on the day of the scheduled measurement or install would be a great idea to kind of reinforce your standards. And then a call afterwards to make sure that everything went smoothly, that the installer took the correct steps, you know, that kind of stuff. So lots of information related to that, but I think putting that proactive assurance campaign together is really going to help get more leads. Assure the people that they won't cancel, which I think is going to be a big concern for a lot of people. And I did link a lot of this stuff at wtmarketingpros.com/COVID. So you can go there and get some information as well. So, all right. Some other customer interaction, and this might work, it might not. Curbside service, assuming you're open, if you know, in most cases, that's probably not something you can do. Maybe start thinking about e-commerce as an option where you can still be shipping things at the moment and making some revenue, delivery for a fee. So I put free for a fee there, or for free, right? I double dipped on that one on purpose. Yeah, that's what I did. All right, let's move on. Getting paid. So the current projects you have that people are putting off and you can't install, I don't know there's a whole lot you can do, right, with that. You can't kind of go back to them and say, you know, we said we would take the money on install. We're not going to do that now. So this is more along the lines of new people coming in, some different things you can do to help you fund it and get through it. So these are some different ideas. Get the client's credit card. I think this one is a big one. The days of writing checks, you know, and that's number two there, stop taking checks. I think those days are in the past. Get the customer's credit card, take that 3% hit, you know, but you have the credit card. And then I would implement a couple different rules along the lines of that. If the install is ready on the date you specified, you're going to run that second payment that day. You already have their information. If the client reschedules at no fault of your own, you still run the credit card as agreed. And if you have to change or reschedule, then you don't run the card until the day of install. So those are some really good ways to help alleviate some of the pressure around getting that, especially if you did it like a 50-50, 50 up front, 50 at install, that kind of things. Definitely, hopefully that helps. Stop taking checks. Obviously there are some things there. There's no fee. If you take a check, you know, you can deposit it, keep that 3%, but boy, is it a hassle to have to chase those down sometimes. A couple other ideas, offer an upfront discount if they pay in full. Maybe, you know, we say 7%, but obviously you can pick your own number. But people like that idea of taking that little discount and just paying for it in full. They trust your business, especially if you've got some of these assurance campaign things in place. You know, these are some great ways to help them decide which business they're going to deal with. And lastly, offer a discount for ACH. So this is interesting. ACH payments or transfers hardly cost anything. I mean, they're pennies compared to what you're paying credit card companies fees. So you could actually offer a discount on ACH and still make money, right? If you're taking a credit card, you're losing 3% plus 30 cents or whatever it happens to be, right? If you say, you know what, we'll give you a 1.5% discount on top if you do an ACH transfer, then you're saving 3%, you're paying 1.5. So you're actually making an additional 1.5% on that sale. So definitely worth looking into. At our COVID resource page, we have links to credit card authorization form and an ACH authorization form. So make sure you go get those, pull those down, stick your logo on there, and offer that as an option. That's a great way to get the money and give them a good deal at the same time. So hopefully those ideas help you as well. So all right, I'm gonna check the questions here in a couple minutes and make sure I get everybody's question. If you haven't put a question into the chat area, go ahead and do that now, and I will make sure that I answer all of those. So listen, this is an unprecedented time to take advantage of some marketing opportunities. Like I said, we have clients who have called that wanted to slow down on their pay-per-click ads or turn them off altogether. In fact, I saw some numbers yesterday afternoon that Facebook ad prices are down 35% right now because the ad inventory is decreasing. You know, all people are turning their ads off. So what an opportunity to get in there. And I've even put a bunch of ads up because, you know, and they are cheaper right now, you know, to get in front of people. So definitely less ad inventory means cheaper prices on different things, easier rankings, less competition, which is great. There are competitors that are taking their foot off the gas. This is an opportunity to to hit the gas and overtake them. And we have some clients that are in some very good ranking spots right now that are taking their foot off the gas, and somebody's going to replace them that is smart and doing some of these, implementing some of these things right now. So definitely an opportunity. Obviously, everybody knows about idle hands. If you're just sitting around not really doing anything, waiting for the phone to ring, this is, you know, hopefully your competitors are doing that, and you can take advantage of some of the things we talked about, some of the other things there, and really, you know, come out of this thing guns a-blazing, I guess you could say, right? In a very good position. There are opportunities to work with us even that were previously locked in. So definitely some opportunity out there. I mentioned this a couple times. If you haven't gone to it yet, WTMarketingPros.com/COVID. Everything we talked about is in there. There's scripts in there for your video, for your website. There is the credit card authorization form, the ACH form. All of that stuff is in there. As far as getting started, I definitely recommend these different things. Get or keep your SEO strategy running. Get it running if you don't have one. Keep that going. Put a lot of effort into that right now, because it is by far the best long-term solution that you can do. Max out your pay-per-click campaign. Obviously, less revenue coming in, but this is a good time to start thinking about taking advantage of those other people that are pulling out of these things. And 35% drop in ad inventory and pricing, that's a great opportunity. Max out your Google Local Services or your Google My Business profile. Make sure that you've gone into that at google.com/business and optimize that thing as best that you can. Implement your assurance campaign. All of the information on that is at the COVID link that I mentioned earlier. Post updates on your social media and email. So one thing that's really important is staying top of mind, especially with all these people staying at home right now, looking at their drapes, looking at their blinds and saying, you know what, we ought to fix that, you know, or we ought to change that. Stay top of mind with them. Definitely interesting. I don't know about emailing them daily, you know, but definitely if you have a newsletter list, email them once a week or whatever you feel is a good amount. And if you don't have an email list, start building it like right away. Start to put that into place. We love a service called Active Campaign, similar to MailChimp or Constant Contact, but Active Campaign lets you do some really cool automations and, you know, wait a couple days, send out this email, wait a couple days, send out this email. Really cool stuff. It's $9 a month, I think, to get started. You can learn about that at WTMarketingPros.com/AC for Active Campaign. And update your hours on your website and your Google My Business profile. Make sure that those are updated. Add the temporary closed if you need to, that sort of stuff. So, and lastly, we're here to serve you. If you have any questions about anything we've covered, anything that I went through, and you want to learn a little bit more about it, feel free to call me. And call us, you know, we were happy to. If you'd rather just get on our calendar, WTMarketingPros.com/strategy is the best place to do that. So that's it. I want to make sure that we do some Q&A and that we go through those as they come in. And I'm going to have to switch my screens here to make sure if there are any questions. Amber, if you could put those in. I will make sure that I cover those. Great webinar. Thanks from Rich. Thank you, Rich. Appreciate you jumping on. So, all right, let me see. Can go back through some of these questions. Is blocking weekly will help bring traffic to my site? So, yes. The answer isn't necessarily blogging weekly is the correct answer, but blogging more than you are now. So even if you can only do one a month and you start to send the signals to Google that every time they come to the site, there is new pieces of content, you're going to be in a better position. And, you know, one of the things you can do is just go visit some of your competitors, local competitors, and see if and how often they are blogging. If they're just putting out one piece of content a month, then okay, you need to do two, right? or take that one thing that they're writing about and make it better and outrank them for that particular topic. That's a great way to do it. But definitely, if you can add content to your site on a very consistent basis, you're going to be in a good spot. And you can even train Google when you're going to blog. I have a client that posts every Monday and Thursday. So they're doing it pretty often. But we would always post it live between 5 and 6 a.m. on Monday and Thursday. And there were times when Monday by 7:30, that particular blog was already indexed in Google because Google expected it. We were consistent. We, you know, trained Google, if you will, when that new piece of content was going to come out, and definitely, definitely a good thing. So to answer your question, yes, it's definitely a good thing. The how often piece is really how much time do you have? Maybe you have a little bit more now, but what you don't want to do is start blogging twice a week. And then as we start to come out of this thing, pull that back to once a month and then totally forget about it. It would be better to go with a monthly or a biweekly and just keep it consistent for a long time. That would be a better scenario for you. So, all right, let's see what other questions. I missed half the webinar. How do I get the recording? So Tracy, since you are already registered in here, I'm actually going to send out the full recording to everyone that registered. So don't worry, you can go back. And if you are on this and missed some of it or want to go back and grab some notes or something I said, I will be sending out the webinar replay for this. Amy says, I've done 10% off for payment in full for 10 years now, and no one has ever said no. Yeah, we do it a lot for web design and campaigns, things like that. And it's always very well received. And it works great as the business owner to get that payment up front. It also talks to trust for your business. They trust you that you're going to deliver. So offering that discount is great. 10% upfront is what Amy says. Dolores says, what is ACH? So you know what? I don't know what it stands for, but it is basically just a checking account to checking account transfer, I guess, is a good way to say it. And it can cost, you know, pennies. It can cost you 30 cents. It doesn't cost very much to pull that information in. If you go to wtmarketingpros.com/COVID, grab that ACH authorization form, and you'll see you just need their banking information and permission to pull an X amount of dollars from that. And yeah, can save you a ton of money. And then, like I said, you can even offer a discount on top of that if you want. David says, just checked Google Ads, only big box stores are advertising. There you go. There's an opportunity if there ever was one. This is a great way to get squeezed in between those guys, you know, and maybe even do the local business play, pull that card out, or we're not a big box store and we will take care of you, that kind of stuff. So David, check into that. That's a great opportunity for you. Rich, great webinar. Dolores, this has been excellent. Thank you so much. I can't wait to share this content with my Hunter Douglas dealers. Thank you, Dolores. I appreciate the comments. It's really kind of you. Amy Wolf says it stands for Automated Clearing House. There we go. I learned something new. Thank you, Amy. So David, okay, David's in New York City. Got a couple clients up there and they're struggling right now. Obviously with the between being sick and just the environment. So thank you. Thanks, Amy. Thanks, Dolores. Thank you everyone for jumping on today. I don't see any other, here are some other questions. I'm sorry. Here we go. What do you post so you don't look heartless and insensitive to the current situation? So on social media, what do you post? Posting a pretty room, even if it is a home office, seems rather self-serving. Yeah, I don't think I agree. I think when I look at analytics for some of my clients, the top visited pages are always the galleries. People want to see what their house could look like. And if you have a before and after gallery, I mean, that's gold. That is pure gold. Have a good call to action on that page. So after people look at a couple of these and see some of these houses, what they look like before and what they look like now, you know, they're like, wow, I need to hire these people right away. So I don't think that's a bad thing to start putting out pieces of content, especially if you could put them out around before and after type stuff. You know, I don't think that's self-serving. I think it's just keeping top of mind that, you know, there's a lot of people on social media right now that are bored out of their minds, and this might distract them for a little bit. And it might even get them thinking about a project that they're wanting to do now or a couple months from now. So, all right. How to handle the Google My Business shutdown because of the virus. Posts are getting rejected. Reviews can be made, but they won't handle. Hopefully I covered most of that. I would say full forward on that. Sanitize your Google My Business review. Make sure that is optimized the best that you can. And when the situation kind of lifts, your profile will be top. It will be great. And it will start showing up in the 3-pack a lot more often. Reviews, you can still get reviews. You can still ask for reviews. We do have a system called Review System Pro, where our clients just send us a list of first names and emails, and we plug them into the system, and it requests those reviews automatically. Pretty cool system. But definitely continue to ask for reviews. That's huge. Last question, how should a solopreneur or a really small business send an email to clients? A COVID-19 policy seems overkill. Yeah, I can't tell you how many of those I'm getting a day. So you might need to be a little bit more creative with it. And just mention, you know, we are considering your safety, you know, because of this, we are not doing any installs for the next 3 weeks. However, this is a great opportunity to get 5% off, or, you know, something along those lines, I think would be a great way to do it. As far as a COVID related email, if you do want to send that out, you can go to the resources tab, the COVID page on our site, and get a script for that as well. So I don't think I'd send out a straight COVID-19 policy, because everybody's doing it and everybody's had enough of it, I think. All right, David, thank you. I will reach out to you tomorrow. Thanks, David. April, can you recommend an app or service that can help with telemeeting? Anything that can be used to measure? So I don't know specifically about measuring. I know that there are some iPhone related apps for measuring, but boy, I'd be leery about somebody else doing my measuring. You know, you get in there and it's too big or too small and it looks bad. That's not a cool situation. As far as the sales for fabrics and things like that, we have a client using Facebook, FaceTime. Some are using that. You can also use Zoom. Zoom.us is that website. And those are really good. Obviously, they're a little bit kind of crude at the moment, you know, but I think everybody's in the same situation, right? Everybody understands businesses are closed and business owners are working from home, and we're trying to do our best. So I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing if you know, you're sitting in your home office or something like that, or the dog walks by or something. You know, I think people are forgiving right now about that. So those are a couple services. If you are a Hunter Douglas person, related, you know, using their products, I know that they are putting together a certification specifically for virtual sales. So definitely be watching for more information on that as well. So, all right, that is it. No more questions. I appreciate everybody jumping on. Hope you have a fantastic rest of your day. Go implement a couple of these things. And if you need any help, reach out to us. Appreciate it. Thanks, everyone. See ya.
You've been listening to the Marketing Pains Podcast, where window treatment and awning business owners and industry experts share marketing information that helps you reach more customers. Please leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform, and get all of our show notes at wtmarketingpros.com/podcast.